A special shout out to our sponsors, the Trust Restaurant Group of San Diego. We're now fully open for business. We're ready to serve you at our flagship restaurant, Trust, Rare Society, Cardellino, and Fort Oak. Executive chef and co-owner Brad Wise wants to share his love of good eats with our San Diego community. Chef Brad uses locally sourced ingredients that change with the season. Trust staff's aim is to provide their patrons with great food, cocktails, wine, and service. We invite you to come to any of our fine restaurants for a meal of a lifetime. In good food, we trust. Product of Rugby, the official workout t-shirt for the American rugby player. You can help the Product of Rugby charity. With every item sold, $5 goes to Feed the American Children. The San Diego Legion presents the Quick Tap Rugby Podcast with your hosts, CJ Johnson, San Diego Legion's own Nate Augsburger, and celebrity chef Rock.
Welcome to another episode of Quick Tap Rugby Outlier Podcast. I'm your host, CJ. Like always, I'm joined by my favorite rugby player, U.S. San Diego Legion star, U.S. Eagle, MLL star, my favorite rugby player, Nate Augsburger. How you doing, my brother?
Yo, CJ, what's good, baby?
What's going on? Also joining us, like always, celebrity chef. If we don't say that, he feels bad. So we're going to say world famous celebrity chef, Chef Rock, host of the Chef Rock Show. What's up, Chef Rock? How you doing, my brother?
Gentlemen, I'm doing fantastic. Life is good.
That's good, man.
It's always good when I'm hanging with you guys.
You look good too, man. So this episode, you know, we got some special things going on. You guys got some interviews that we're going to talk about a little bit. You know, we're gonna cut away to that stuff. But here, first and foremost, let's talk about the championship, man. Good game, super exciting, great cap to the great season. Still disappointing for the San Diego Legion fans and the San Diego Legion players, but we're super excited about next season. So give me your feedback. I guess, Chef Rock, you actually went to the game itself?
I was there with my family. We went to the game. It was quite exciting. I guess they had like 7,500 folks there at the L.A. Coliseum. Spectacular place to have the game. I have to say, the Giltinis, they had it down. I mean, they were like just drop kicking the ball to each other, running down, taking guys out. It was a pretty physical game. Enjoyable to watch there. At the end of the game, they had the EDM guy, Steve.
Steve Aoki.
I'm still deaf in one ear. It was so freaking loud. I mean, boom. But the kids were going nuts. The energy was there. Yeah. So hopefully, awesome. I know that you guys will be there next year, Nate.
Yeah.
We'll be down on the field cheering you out.
So that caps our amateur a review of the game. So, Nate, let's give us a professional review of the game. So what did you think of the game, my brother? Give me your professional opinion.
Just in my professional opinion, one, I think, first off, hat tip to, like, the MLR in total. We didn't have to cancel any games. Every single game was played. There's a lot of other competitions around the world that haven't been able to do that and that have had things pop up. So major hat tip to the league for doing that. And I thought the final was really good. Atlanta early on, I thought they were starting to look like they were going to have to find some new ways. Once they got scored on, we knew they were going to have to find some ways to score. Their game, it just feels like they haven't been down as much. And I know Atlanta's scored a lot of points. I know they've gotten into 30-point games with Rooney and stuff like that. So they're capable of scoring, but just their style of play – once they had gotten down to Giltinis, I was a bit concerned. I was a bit concerned at them having the punch back. So I thought LA summed up the whole season. They're in control. They're playing good rugby. Some great tries, like Chef was alluding to, a little kick forward gathered by the Giltinis, and they went and scored. So I was pretty impressed. And I mean, just like for any fan out there, whether you know the game or not, a 31-17 final. So, you know, the other team completely thrown off the field, but it maybe wasn't as competitive, or at least it wasn't down to like the last 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Yeah. It really felt like LA had it in the bag by 60.
So Chef Rock, since you were there, so the fan experience from your side of it, the fan experience, what was the fan experience like? I didn't get a chance to go to the game. I watched it, but I didn't get a chance to go.
Yeah, we were down on like the 12th row. So we had great seats in the corner. And I mean, the ones in the middle, you know, they were already sold out really fast. It was fun because that stadium is so accommodating for the fans. I mean, we were in direct sunlight, you know? So if you wanted, you could just walk all the way 150 feet up, and it was a long way up, was a place where you could just hang out in the shade and watch the game.
Food the fans, was, were they acting wild? Were they about it?
It was wild. There was a lot of energy in that. Those LA fans reminded me of Raider fans. I mean, they were chanting.
That's LA.
They were throwing stuff. I mean, it was a lot of fun. It was fun to see. So I'm hoping that enthusiasm boils over to next season, where a lot more people in San Diego realize that they have a pro team in their midst that they need the support. Yeah, it should be good. I think next year is going to be the banner year for fans coming out and for you guys being in one location to really kick some booty.
You're five.
Booty. I said
CJ,
booty.
CJ, did you feel – I kind of felt like the energy without being there, I felt like it was there, at least through, like, social media avenues and just kind of hearing from some people who were there. What about you, CJ?
No, I felt the same way. I watched the game, and then I was on social media at the same time. I seen a lot of San Diego Legion players that were actually posting stuff and talking about the game. So I got a feeling that everybody's involved in it. I think everybody's super excited. Like, you know, in NFL, NBA, Major World Series, stuff like that, you don't get the fan social media kind of thing going on. Because I think this sport is more involved in social media as well as, you know, people going out to the game. So right. I got a lot from both aspects, watching the game and seeing it. And then the game was kind of exciting, man. For me, I'm learning rugby more. I'm learning more about it. So therefore, it makes me feel like every time something happens, oh, I know what that means. I know what that was. You know what I'm saying? So it was when something happens that I know, and when other stuff happens, I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah. Why did he do that?
Why did he do that? You know what I'm saying? Because I know every other sport I grew up playing them and watching them, so I know exactly what's going on all the time. So it's definitely a good experience, you know, for me. And I enjoyed it. I would have loved to have been there, but, you know, I'm a little COVID shy, you know, because I had COVID.
Right.
So I kind of stay away from large crowds, you know, or I would have probably went or something like that. But hopefully next season when the San Diego Legions is playing in a championship, I'll be there. And we'll be super, super excited about that. And whether
the San Diego Legions
don't play. We'll get to go there anyway. So
exactly.
I know for a fact there were some SD Legion logos at the stadium. A few people had them out. My idea was that just like you get as many people as possible. You take the train up.
Yeah.
You just go full Legion gear decked out to make a statement. But obviously, you know, logic.
There was fans there. There were Legion fans.
There were some Legions.
Yeah. Some people making the trip up, which is cool. I mean, it's good for the sport, you know, and the fact that people could go up there and, you know, put pride aside and just share the game. That's special. That's always good, you know. So,
you know, there were some good plays in the game. There were some good hits and some good things going on. So it's also if you're watching it for the first time on TV, or you get to watch a championship game like this one is when it means something and it's the final game of the season and you get to hold that, the shield, how big the shield was, hold it up. You know, I think sometimes television can make people excited about a sport. You know what I mean? If you're watching it, because you know, if you don't know it, you don't really go to the game. You know what I'm saying? Unless someone gives you free tickets or you go. But if you get a chance to turn it on and you watch it and it's super exciting, the crowd's going crazy, there's always a play going on. I think that's what makes you stop and say, hey, let me pay attention to the sport. So I think the game was definitely, definitely good, you know, for the fans on TV. And it was definitely good for me. So. Yeah, I was excited, man, to watch the game. I was pumped, you know. Yeah.
You know what I found when I saw the audience? The audience was very mixed. So there was a lot of young kids there with their families, men, women, young, old. I saw more old guys wearing costumes. You know, they had the blue hair. You know, I mean, the whole outfit, the shin guards there, all blue, fluffy. So there was a lot of that going on. But what I liked was that, you know, you saw the young kids there and they're cheering and all that. And then the older people that were coming out too. So I know predominantly it's kind of a real guy sport because of club, you know, play. It was good to see. So I got a really good feeling that, and they did a really nice job in the presentation. They had confetti guns, blowing confetti. Oh, I'll post some pictures from there. But they did a really nice job. I was pretty impressed on how they handled the ending and everything.
And I also think also think we're on the world stage with the Olympics, you know, having rugby in the Olympics and teams doing well, you know, did well at the Olympics, you know. I think that also plays a part in helping the sport grow in America. You know what I'm saying? So I think that, you know, what did you think about that, Nate, by the way, the Olympics?
Yeah, I was gutted because I know both of our teams saw themselves placing at least in getting a medal.
Right.
And it didn't happen for us. So I'm gutted for them. But at the same time, just like reviewing kind of how rugby was being broadcasted and kind of how the players were, just what an inspiring group of people, an inspiring group of players to go out there and represent at the Olympics. I thought that was kind of the big cherry on top for me, even though I know we didn't get the results. It was just there's some special people on those teams, and they're doing a great job showing the game, but also showing who they are individually. And so, yeah, man, I'm pretty chuffed about that. I'm excited to say that I know a lot of those people, and I've either got to play with them or have watched them play for a long time.
Yeah, and we have a lot of those players on the men and women's team on this podcast, and we've talked to them. So as I watched some of the Olympic games and, you know, rugby match, and I was like, man, I know that person. I just had a conversation with that person.
Yeah, we know that girl. Yeah.
So it definitely feels good. And then also they participated in social media throughout the whole process of the Olympics. Which again it's a younger generation's kind of platform.
Right.
I think that platform educates people and gets people more excited about it. And so I think they're using social media very, very well. And it's kind of exciting, you know, to see where that's going to go. Again, I think that you know, we got some really, really good talented people in the Olympics. Now I don't know how they'll come back around it 4 years from now and do it all over again. You know what I'm saying? After you have fresh young kids coming along, but we might have some good players in the MLR, you know, that's going to be available to play in the Olympics next time around. So this is a good opportunity for everybody to see what American rugby is about. So, but I want to talk to you guys about, you guys did some special interviews this week and went out and enjoyed yourselves. And I didn't get a chance to participate, but I'm super excited to hear about them. So give me heads up, Nate, what you did and who you talked to.
Yeah, so I went over to Rare Society off Park Boulevard down in San Diego, and our guest for the day is Patrick Madden. So I kind of I was able to sit down, we chatted up, and we chatted about the MLR draft that's coming up. And Patrick was selected by San Diego last year in the first round. So a bit of an overview, so to speak, on guys that did well this season and what guys can look forward to, and how that whole draft process is going, and how it's growing, and how it could grow the game and the league. So obviously Pat's an easy guy. He's a really, really nice guy, young kid, but he was a joy to sit down. So we'll toss it over to those clips now.
So Pat, we're here at the Rare Society. We're doing a live shoot. It's awesome. We've got a brilliant, beautiful steak in front of us, a great meal. And I just want to start by talking a bit about you.
Oh, geez.
So I know you from the season, obviously, and we've gotten to know each other a bit more, but family guy, definitely. Big San Diego ambassador guy also, right?
Love my town, yeah.
Yeah. And then Huru. So can you explain just kind of a bit about you, and also let me not forget Frisbee golf.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
And that's your off-season job, right? Like, you can make a lot of money doing Frisbee golf.
I think you hit me in the couple pillars there. Yeah, no, big family guy, obviously born and raised San Diego. I mean, like the little fun fact, like we're still living in the same house my dad grew up in San Diego. So my childhood room was my dad's childhood room. And so, wow. You know, since 72, we've been here. And just enjoying every second of it. And then so obviously doing the Legion stuff. And then you mentioned the Huru. That's my dad. The Huru crew was got started with my dad. That's kind of like a chant he does at games and stuff that people have picked up.
But everyone would hear, because your dad is also one of the loudest supporters that we know.
Yep. No, he's always there front and center. But yeah, that's just something that got started. So it's like my group of friends growing up. We had a good friend of mine. His dad got a double lung transplant. And so when he thought he was going to pass, made it through, but he said our group of friends, we were the Huru crew. And so from then on, it just took off. And then that kind of coincided with my dad's cheer. And so it's just something that's another San Diego little fun fact for me. But
that's awesome. Kept you guys, kept him fighting.
Yeah, no. And then to get him out, you know, it's, you know, it's a good feeling when you get your boy on the other side like that.
So. Would you say that frisbee golf is your favorite outside of rugby pastime?
Yes. In a short answer, yes. I think it has to be because it's just, obviously, you know, you're in the heat of the season. There's so much stuff going on. You kind of need that disconnect. And my dad and I, that's, you know, probably my number one coach right there. So he and I get on the course. And, you know, we're slanging discs. We're having fun. And it's a way to just chat about stuff without, you know, sitting down and discussing it. We could just be out there on the links and really just talking it over. Yeah, what do you think about this play? What do you think about this decision? Stuff like that. And so it was a way for me to disconnect with the game, disconnect with kind of my reality, and just be in this own little zone for a bit.
I hear you on that. I'm a, you know, I love golfing.
Yeah.
I think it transfers over a little bit because of, I mean, you know, you play fly half. You've had experience at scrum half now. Like, I think that moment before you swing a golf club and you're just focused on the ball is so, like, it transfers over to rugby, you know, and it's that moment of just focus and just trying to execute a kick. Or you know, it could be a pass too. But that's what I love about golf. And then something about being outside. Just like so open air, you're walking around. It's just like, that's what our bodies need.
And I think helps you recover. Anything you can have like a process in, you know, like you said, like, and that's where I think it translates to the rugby as well. The fact that like, all right, if I'm lining up for like a conversion or something like that, it's the process. If I'm, you know, making sure I get my arm back from my throw to max velocity, stuff like that. And so, yeah, I think anything where I can break it down and turn it into a science, that's what I love. Cause I'd like, you know, I'm a game. I consider myself a pretty big gamer. So anything where I could win or, you know, get good at,
that's, you are that's a gamer. Anything we compete over, I know you're bringing your best. That's professional Pat speaking, by the way. So let me ask you about just kind of, it's your first MLR season. What were some of the lessons that you took?
Lessons, I think that's a big one. It's, you know, obviously coming from a collegiate level where, you know, I like to consider myself, you know, I had my stuff figured out, one of the better players in college rugby, but then getting used to, all right, getting used to going to the bottom of the totem pole, figuring yourself out, and just finding out your groove within MLR. And that comes with not only the league, but the team, you as a player, figuring out, all right, I could do that in college footy, but I can't do that at this level. And so I think that was the biggest thing. And as a team with the Legion, we saw there was just a lot of adapting and overcoming different obstacles. And that was me personally and trying to figure out whether I was playing nine, fly half, fullback, you know, where I'd slot into on the weekend. And then also just, you know, moving to Vegas, stuff like that. So I think the biggest thing was just being ready for anything, taking it head on and, you know, trying to keep a smile on my face for the most part.
Yeah, thrive, not survive, right?
Facts, for sure.
I think you were one of the guys who set just a great example to go and try and find the help that you need. So you mentioned all the positions that you were covering, but what about that relationship you had with a guy like Cecil or you know, even Coach Zach?
Yeah.
Zach Test obviously was one of the guys who was high on you and brought you here. How was that through your first season?
No, and I think that's something crazy that I still try and develop. I mean, you said Cecil and Zach. I mean, from going, being in the stands, now being in the team, I think I had a pretty fresh look at some of that and a bit of starstruck as well. But then as we got through the season, I finally found my place, like, all right, I belong here. But it was with the helps of guys like Cecil, yourself early in the season. We worked tons when I thought I might be playing nine.
Right.
And having those guys we can go to, all right, I need help on this. Can we stay after practice, get some work in? And then just the relationships you build. I mean, guys that were once your heroes are now your friends. I mean, dude, I dropped Cecil spent the night at my house. If you told me that at 10 years old, I would have absolutely lost it.
Cecil, Africa.
He spent the night at my house. Like, back in Las Vegas, it had to be like, 2010, something like that. I think I was like 10 years old, 10, 12. And I begged that dude for his socks from the stands. And he signed his socks for me. And then now I'm like, oh, now I'm, you know, he's hanging out in my house, talking to my parents, like stuff like that. So it's such a cycle and crazy just to be here. And a lot of that's with the trust and belief from Testy, from elite players and kind of leadership guys who are like, hey, bud, like, dude, you are good enough to be here. You just need to understand that and back yourself. And I think, you know, big thanks to you and a lot of the other boys helping out there.
Well, you really started finding your feet towards the end of the season. I mean, that's what you want, right? Because coming in, Pat, you would have been one of the guys that, you know, you're on the S&C stuff. You're doing actually more strength conditioning than most of the team because you're a younger player coming in. But I also saw that you got some really good, like, relationships with the younger guys. Like, you and Carlo get on really well and stuff like that. I just think that's always special, a special part of it.
No, right? The relationship, that's – I mean, you play rugby because you love rugby, but it's the relationships you take away from rugby that last forever. Now, we're not always going to be putting our boots on, but we'll always have those friendships. And for sure, I mean, there was that bit of an age gap between some of the guys. And so you had Carlo and Etho and those younger guys were like, hey, we're all kind of in the same boat, going through the same stuff. So, you know, but it, although, like, you'd hang out with those, you can go to anyone on that team and be like, hey, like, I need some help. And everyone was put their hand up to help you out.
I loved our young group. I loved our young group. So good. So with that said, all right, so August 19th, we've got the 2021 MLR draft. You were a part of the MLR 2020 draft. Anybody who stands out, any guys that you know personally that may be knocking around in this upcoming draft?
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously we took a look at that the sheet that MLR put out recently, and so I don't think that's a full list, but we'll get some more guys trickling in. I mean, a big one is, you know, Eric Napowski coming out of UCLA. And I guess I'm a bit biased because I've played with these guys on USA teams, like that. So a lot of these guys are just my boys. But, you know, Eric's a stellar fullback wing. He'll come out. You have Asa Carter coming out of Arkansas. That is just a threat. Reminds me a lot of like a Tommy Clark that got drafted last year to Seattle. Just a big body that can throw his weight around. And, you know, we'll definitely have his space in the league eventually. But there's tons of good talent coming out. And I think the success of this year's draft class kind of shows what can happen if we kind of invest into the grassroots program, bring them up, stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. Do you have anybody from the draft, from your guys' draft, that you'd say had the best year, standout year as a rookie?
No, that's huge. I mean, obviously the first ones that come to mind are, you know, like a Connor Mooneyham, first-round pick, who just was great, got that call up to the Eagles, unluckily couldn't make it. Did an injury, and then you have an Andrew Guerra coming at the flanker for NOLA.
Right.
And those are guys, I mean, of course, you have some like Connor Mooneyham coming out of life, but then you also have Andrew coming out of Notre Dame, I think.
Notre Dame, yeah.
And so those are two. You have obviously at the pinnacle of collegiate rugby with life, and then a college maybe you wouldn't know about.
Yeah.
And so it shows the depth within the community and really making the effort to find different players, which I think the draft does. It puts it on the onus of the player to put themselves in the position to get seen, and you know, they usually wouldn't get that opportunity.
For sure. I love how it like kind of, it like you said, it uncovers almost talent where you might not have looked.
Yeah.
You know, a wide variety of colleges are on that list. I have actually Napowski down as one of those guys. He's a New York Old Blue guy as well. He's been playing sevens with the men's. I know he's played at Rugby Town sevens with the Jesters. And so he is somebody that I'd watch. The other guy we got is a local guy who's at Grand Canyon State University, Dom Iannacovino.
Yep.
Iannacovino. I've actually trained with Dom a little bit over the quarantine back when everything was done and dusted. I would train with Dom up at the field and do some skills and stuff. I think he's got a really good shot, and he's a fullback as well.
No, I think that guy, I mean, I remember when he had his big leg injury and worked back to get to where he is now. I mean, we put tons of local stuff growing up and then also playing against each other when I was at Cal Poly and he was at Grand Canyon, and just a stellar athlete. That dude in open space, he's dangerous. I definitely think he'll look good.
He's like, so you played overseas a little bit, right?
Yep.
What time did you spend over there?
So I was in University of Queensland in the summer of 2018. Mm-hmm. And so I was there for 5 months, just really trying to hone in my, and luckily I got that for winning the Mark Lone Medal through my high school accolades, stuff like that. And so I was able to spend that time there and really kind of fall in love with rugby culture over in Australia. And kind of just engulf myself in that. And that was really cool to see the growth I got there, especially on the defensive side of things, really emphasis on the chop tackle, stuff like that, breakdown work. That's something I wouldn't give up for the world.
Yeah, some of the habits and stuff in the other countries are already there, where like our youth rugby is now just getting exposed to like the good core habits, the things that you want to be doing since you're like 10 years old. So by the time that you're a USA Eagle, you're on fire.
Yeah.
You know, and so, yeah, that's sweet. Well, I'm looking forward to the draft. And I think since that some guys like yourself, obviously Cole Zarcone, our very own, I think with some of the success that you guys have had through the season, it's going to make it that much better and that much more to look forward to. So, well, my final question as we, you know, let this food sit, we better eat, but, my final question would be, what would your best bit of advice be for these guys if they do get selected? I guess you kind of got to think about what you can control and what you can't control. But from your experience, what would it be?
Yeah, I think we kind of touched on it a bit with being adaptable. And obviously, a lot of these guys, and there's a lot of rules set in place where it's kind of tough, whether it's, you know, you're scared to lose your eligibility, you're scared to do that. So if I don't get drafted, will I still be able to play collegiate rugby? And so there's a lot of moving parts right now. And I felt that pressure on myself when I first entered the draft. It's, what if I don't get drafted? There's so much stuff that you can't control. So focus on the things you can't control. And that's putting the hard miles in when no one's looking. Keep working hard. You know, once you get drafted, you're going to have a couple months prior to off-season training or getting with the team, and really put all that work in there and, you know, enjoy it. And then once you get in that environment, be a sponge, soak up everything you can. And I, like I said, I like to just keep a smile on my face, chip on my shoulder, have some fun with it.
Yeah, that's good advice, man. That's good advice. Well, that about wraps us up for our MLR Collegiate Preview, as well as being here at Rare Society. Major shout out to the chef and Trust Restaurant Group for having us. So
appreciate it.
We'll catch you in studio.
Chef Rock, you had an opportunity to go out and do a special interview this week. Give us some information about that. Where'd you go? Who'd you talk to? And let us know some information about it.
I had the pleasure of sitting down with the executive chef and owner of the Trust Restaurant Group at his restaurant, Rare Society. It was an incredible opportunity to sit down with a guy who owns four restaurants in San Diego, and how with COVID and then juggling menus, an incredible guy. So let's take a look at what he has to say.
Hi, I'm Chef Rock. I'm coming to you live from Rare Society in University Heights. On my side here, I have executive chef Brad Wise, owner of the Trust Restaurant Group. And this is one of your restaurants that are based on, like, basically a homage to a Las Vegas steakhouse?
Yes. So we took this concept. My wife is from the Central Coast. So it's a wood-fired steakhouse concept that is kind of an homage to the Central Coast and her. And just generally, we like playing with fire as chefs, right? So, you know, and the group is kind of based around, you know, wood fire foods. It just adds another layer of flavor. It's really fun to work with. It's an amazing, challenging cooking tool. And then comes spark this idea of a kind of a Las Vegas-y feel approach, but still has the feel of Southern California and the Central Coast as well.
It's fantastic. I mean, I'm just looking at that steak. It's kind of calling my name. Now, the smell is just incredible here because you use wood to cook the food.
Yep. So everything's, for the most part, all the protein section is cooked over red oak, typically what they use in the Central Coast. And I mean, you know, you get a lot of people that say, oh, if it's a really good piece of meat, you don't need to disguise the flavor. We're not disguising anything. Everything is just being enhanced at that point. And again, it's something that, you know, is near and dear to our hearts about just kind of the general ancient cooking method.
Explain how you did the steak.
So the steak is, this is a Cedar River Farms prime ribeye, boneless. This is what we call our bullseye steak. It's one of our signature steaks, 16 ounces. This one we slice for you. So we just simply oil, salt and pepper. Mm-hmm. We cook this to the desired temperature. And, you know, obviously ribeye is one of the more popular cuts in the U.S. And this is my personal favorite farm and just approach to a steakhouse. It's just, you know, you can't, the subtle notes, the sweet notes, the corn or the grain finish that you get from this farm is just unique. And, you know, I feel we do a pretty good job on the execution.
Right. Well, I looked at your menu and everything seems very unique.
Thank you.
It's all your own style of cooking. Now I have three other restaurants. How do you say, oh, you know what? We do this at Rare Society, but I want to do something completely different at one of the other restaurants.
Well, it's not easy. However, I have a great staff. Number one, the people that work with me day in and day out are, you know, we go out, we hire the best possible people we can get that fits in with our group or our family, as we like to call it. So first and foremost, I have awesome brains that, you know, this is not just me. We have a lot of people that think through each dish and kind of, it's a team collaborative effort of creativity. I give my guys a lot of freedom and obviously they bring things to us. And I always say, you know, five minds are better than one, you know, and we usually talk through things and can come up with something really unique. And I mean, it's as simple as this. This is just cream, essentially cream corn, but we just wood roast three different types of chilies and, you know, put that base in there, smoke the corn beforehand. And it just, again, it's, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel. I'm just trying to
do it a little better, maybe.
Do a little, yeah, you know, a little different. A little different. I like to say, a little different. And it's, again, you see, you know, green chili, cream corn, and people don't understand that they're going to get a green bowl of really decadent cream corn. You know, and it's, we serve our mushrooms with an egg yolk, nice. With roasted garlic and thyme. So again, it's the common things you see. It's just how you get from A to Z. Is, you know.
Well, this is just one part of our series. We're going to be doing basically all the restaurants eventually.
Yes.
I can't wait to go and see the other ones.
Yes.
And see the master at work,
yeah.
Which is fantastic. So what we want to tell all the people in San Diego is that, you know, it's time to get back out to the restaurants. You got to come on out. And if you're looking for an incredible meal, not just steak, you do a lot of other items that are on your menu, right?
Yes. Yeah, we have... an amazing dry-aged pork chop. We have our appetizer selection. Again, that what the company's known for is more of a shareable approach to a dining experience. Here we have what we're known for is the executive and associate board. Three different types of meat on each. One's more Wagyu beef focused. The other is more dry-aged focused. And it's just the interactive dining. Again, eating dinner is a celebration every time you eat, obviously because of my physique.
You're looking at me too.
So we like to, you know, make it as interactive as possible, you know, and it just creates a, you know, another level of the experience that, you know, just overall is what we're trying to do is have people come in and make sure they have the experience.
Well, I think you captured a great niche. I mean, just that old family comfort food, mm-hmm. which is taken up to another level. Mm-hmm. And I love
Thank
that.
You.
I love to see other chefs out there doing things that are just, you're ticking off another box. This is great.
Appreciate it.
I'm very excited for you. If you get a chance, come on out here to Rare Society, University Heights, and it's right on Park Road. You can look it up. It'll be a lot of fun. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time right here at Quick Tap Rugby Podcast. Salud.
We're back. Thank you for those interviews, guys. Those interviews were great. I really appreciate it, man.
Pleasure.
I wish I got an opportunity to go to Rare Society myself and enjoy some good food. So hopefully you guys can get me some, I guess, a meal pass or something, some free tickets and stuff, so I can go eat for free. So,
hey,
thank you very much.
Huh? You pay.
Yeah, you pay. That's my luck in life, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, guys, thank you very much for that. Hey, I'll see you guys next time. Quick Tap out.
Yeah, looking forward to it. CJ, Quick Tap out.
Hey.